Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. President Biden is scheduled to meet with congressional leaders today at the White House to talk about raising the nation's debt ceiling. As NPR's Scott Detrow reports, the president continues to reject linking a hike in the federal government's borrowing authority to spending cuts, as Republicans want.
As the debt ceiling deadline has inched closer and closer, Biden has stuck to his position that he won't negotiate. And House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has stuck to his position that the Republican-controlled House will not approve more debt payments without corresponding spending cuts. After months of standoff, the two men will now meet to talk about it. But in a back and forth with a reporter, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre insisted Biden isn't caving.
I wouldn't call it a debt ceiling negotiations. I would call it a conversation between the four leaders and the president.
Biden and McCarthy will be joined by other congressional leaders in the meeting as well. Scott Detrow, NPR News, the White House.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned the U.S. could default on its debts as early as June 1st if lawmakers don't take action. At a White House event last night, the president said he wants to see a fair deal for Hollywood striking writers. Film and TV writers walked off the job 1 week ago over pay. The Biden administration is proposing regulations that would require airlines to compensate stranded passengers when the carrier is at fault for their canceled flight. As NPR's David Shaper reports, the proposal covers expenses such as hotels, meals, and ground transportation.
A recent General Accountability Office investigation finds that the sharp increase in flight delays and cancellations is largely due to factors within the airline's control, including staffing shortages and maintenance issues. As a result, President Biden wants to crack down.
Later this year, my administration will propose a historic new rule that will make it mandatory, not voluntary, but mandatory, for all U.S. airlines to compensate you with meals, hotels, taxis, ride shares, and rebooking fees.
An industry group says airlines are working diligently to improve reliability, but contends that extreme weather and air traffic control problems cause the majority of delays and cancellations. David Shaper, NPR News.
The driver of an SUV involved in a deadly weekend crash in Brownsville, Texas, is facing charges that include 8 counts of manslaughter. Police say 34-year-old George Alvarez is also charged with 10 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. The city's police chief says the vehicle Alvarez was driving ran a red light, jumped a curb, flipped over, and plowed into people waiting for a bus outside a migrant shelter on Sunday. Investigators say toxicology reports are still pending. Alvarez has an extensive criminal record. This is NPR News from Washington. The man identified as the shooter in Saturday's deadly attack at a large outlet shopping mall in Allen, Texas, joined the U.S. Army in 2008 but never finished his initial training. That's according to an Army spokesperson. Police say 33-year-old Mauricio Garcia shot and killed 8 people and wounded more than a half dozen others at the mall before an officer fatally shot Garcia. Authorities are still investigating a motive for the attack. Outside the state capitol in Austin yesterday, protesters called on Texas lawmakers to pass stricter gun control measures. Jury deliberations are expected to begin today in New York in writer E. Jean Carroll's civil lawsuit, accusing former President Donald Trump of raping her at a Manhattan department store in the mid-1990s. A new study suggests the 2020 U.S. Census missed a significant share of residents who are not American citizens. Here's NPR's Hansi Lo Wang.
The Constitution requires a count of every person living in the U.S. for numbers used to reallocate congressional seats and electoral college votes. But a Census Bureau study using government records came up with an estimated tally that was more than 2% higher than the 2020 census results. That gap was likely driven by non-citizen residents who are missing from the Bureau's count. The Bureau could not match addresses for close to 20% of unauthorized immigrants, green card holders, and other non-citizens in its estimate with those counted in the actual census. Many of them are likely to live at addresses with multiple housing units and near the U.S.-Mexico border. The Bureau has been looking into using more government records for the 2030 census. Hansi Lo Wang, NPR News.
I'm Dave Mattingly in Washington.